discussing, because it came up in the whole question, the Adam Yashin, and we saw already on the previous Amud, Adam Uliola, the famous Machlok Shushanim about the boundaries of Adam Uliola, and we saw three basic shitas, right? We saw the Tosfos. So the Tosfos says only to Ein Aveda, not to Ein Gneva, right? He's more less than sure. He's only more for something that's close to full negligence. More the old one is very Lavdavka. We saw the Shita of the Riva, and we also were Radaika and Muke Yosef, who says no. He is Chayav for Ke'ein Gneva Va'aveda, but not for an onus gomer. And we saw the Shita of the Rabban, who says, we olam mamish, even onus gomer. And he had a different idea of rushing in Mitsuya. It didn't mean an unusual wind, which could still be some degree of negligence, but meant even a miraculous wind. We saw that the Ramban thinks this is clearly not any type of onish. There's clearly not any type of onish for what he did. This is just a consequence. Hey, you break it, you fix it. This is just a business consequence. This is part of life. It's not a punishment for wrongdoing because you didn't do anything wrong. The other Rishonim, we're not sure if they also think it's just a consequence, but there are conditions, or they think it is a punishment for wrongdoing. Nimuka Yosef associates this with the Kulter Kulakala, Blanar Lasasa Dover, Onis Rahan Patre. What's the difference between the Nimuka Yosef and the Riva versus the Tosos? Could just be where they draw the line. Could say no. The Riva and the Nimuka Yosef thing, really, you're totally chayiv. But there's a rule of Blanar Lasasa Dover. Well, Tosos thinks you're only chayiv for Poshea. Just that Poshea includes Kein Aveda. Not hard to prove. Now he had a whole list of proofs. Right, there are many cases where Adam Mazik is putter all over Shas. And these are all the proofs that Tosos quoted, that he must be right, because there's many, many cases where Adam Mazik is putter all over Shas, and we saw how the Ramban and others got out of all those proofs. What we left off with just was Bava Kama Armasechet, right? Bava Kama Daf Kuf Yudbeis, the case of Hiniach Lemavihem Para Sheula, that weird case, Kuf Yudbeis and Aleph, the father borrowed a cow and died, with that. Kids thought it was his cow. They shecht it and ate it. They have to pay for the hana they got. That's true. That's always true. But they don't pay for the damage, right? So, or for example, let's say they had shechted it and then, and then they never got around to eating it. Then they wouldn't have to pay anything, right? They don't have to pay for damaging the cow. Why don't they have to pay for damaging the cow? For Tosos, that's beseder because it was onus. It was onus. It wasn't negligent they shechted the cow. What do you mean? Their father died. They inherited his household. Why shouldn't they shecht the cow? So it was onus. For the Riva, it's also okay. That's an onus gomer. That's not like Gneva Vaveda, something you should have been more careful about. What do you mean we were careful about? We all know everyone's father dies at some point. They inherit, and hopefully the father dies first. They inherit his property. Why should they start wondering if everything's borrowed if they have no reason to think so? Like, that's an onus gomer. There's, like, no way to account for that. And let's assume the cases where there are no clues, right, and no reason to suspect. But for the Ramban, it's very difficult. So he said the last thing that's difficult for the Ramban is you have a kushya from Bava Kama, Kofya Beis Amar Aleph, Heniach Lahem Avihem Hara Sheula the Ushkatuhu, right? And they accidentally shechted it. They are potter. Why are they potter? Right? Tur. According to Ramban, why are they potter? They're an Adam HaMazik. Right? And you're not going to say, like, oh, the guy was mochel. He wanted them to do it. They were trying to help him. No, you're not going to give that hesber. So, I asked you just, what's pshat? So, what's pshat? How did Ramban answer this? Interesting, the Ramban, in the context of Adam Udiolo, never asked this question on himself. Even though Tosos brought it, and he knew Tosos, I mean, we're not sure what version Tosos had in front of him, he never discussed. So, why do you think this case is potter according to the Ramban?
Could it be like a halva?
But it's not, right? Moshe wants to say something very radical. He wants to say, because his father borrowed the cow, it's like when you borrow something, you're not chayav mazik for shechting it. When you borrow something, you're only chayav to pay it back. And technically, who's chayav to pay it back? The father. He's the one who borrowed it. And since he died, and the case was he didn't leave real estate, so there's no shibud on his estate, so the father is pater. But that's a big chiddush. What Moshe is saying is that if you borrow something and shecht it, you're not a mazik. If you borrow something and shecht it, you're just a borrower. Why is that radical? Because you know the difference between halva, a lova, and a shomer, right? They're both borrowers in English. I don't know if there's different, maybe in like lawyers and the different words. A lova and a shoal are both borrowers, but they're two different things. Like, for example, a lova who borrows and like pays a fee for borrowing violates the rights of ribis. A shoal who borrows and pays a fee for borrowing is a socher, one of the arba shomer. Right? So what's the difference? A lova is someone who borrows something to use it up and pay back something else, like cash. Right? If I borrow cash, I spend the cash and give you other cash, I'm a lova. Or if I borrow a pound of sugar or a dozen eggs, I'm a lova. I'm supposed to use them and buy you another one like it. What? Mevulotzanina. A shoal is someone who borrows something and just is supposed to use it, but give it back to you intact. Right? If I borrow your car, I am a shoal. If I borrow your football or your computer, I am a shoal. So Moshe is trying to make a big chiddush. He's making a shoal into a shtick of lova. Right? And when I borrow your car, really it means that I could sell it or crash it and give you a different car. I could, you know, crush into scrap metal and give you a different car. And the only reason, if I borrow your football and I slice it into 8 pieces, I haven't done anything wrong by being mazik. It's just that now I owe you to pay you back because the loan. And since over here it was the father who took the loan, the father's tithe, since he's not here, so it falls between the cracks and no one pays. You know that's a chiddush.
I didn't really mean that. I meant in the bin yorshim. Somehow yorshim, because for whatever reason they don't have to pay back
a halva. Yeah. Okay. But it's a chiddush. Like,
okay,
it's a chiddush.
Like,
so then why aren't they mazik? Okay, anyone? So I thought you'd go in one of two directions. The one direction is an interesting case. You ever thought of this case? Remember the sleeping guy, according to Rabban. Right? The sleeping guy? So the Yerushalmi says is putter if he went to sleep first and someone put the vase second. So Tos says why? Because he's an honest. And the Rivas says why? He's an honest guard. The Rabban says, no, you know why? Because it's the other guy's fault. Not because it's not his fault. He's chayivim if it's not his fault, because it's the other guy's fault. What if a third party put the vase? I go to sleep on this table, and Yehuda puts Aaron's vase next to me, and I break it. It's not Aaron's fault, it's Yehuda's fault. Am I putter according to the Ramban? And let's say Yehuda runs away, we can't find him. Right? Can't make him pay. So am I putter or chayiv according to the Ramban? It's not clear. Am I only putter when it's the Nizak's fault? Or maybe Adam is putter when it's someone else's fault? I'm not sure. It's not clear in the Ramban. Right? It's not clear in their mind. What if it's a third? If it's the Nizak's fault, then Avada, there's no other Muldiolum if it's the Nizak's fault. It's his fault. What if it's a third party's fault? Do we say, I'm still other Muldiolum, it wasn't the Nizak who did it, it was me who did it? Do we say no? As long as it's someone else, if it's no one's fault, then other Muldiolum. But if it's someone else's fault, then the blame goes to him, the responsibility goes to him instead of me, and as long as I can, it's someone else's fault, Adam's not Muldiolum. So if you assume that, what?
I mean, L'chor is the person who put it there. It's Chayev.
Yeah, for sure the L'chor, the person who put it there, is Chayev. L'chor. Okay, but let's say the person who put it there runs away and we can't find him. Am I Chayev?
Wouldn't it be Grama?
What? And maybe the person who put it there would be Grama Taka, not so Pashat, right? So let's say it's someone else's fault. So maybe you could say there's an assumption, right? How do you answer? One, if you make an assumption, what's the assumption? You make one assumption. The assumption is that Adam eino muad li'olam hecha de
hanezek bipshias acher afilu acher she'eno, even the third party. How do you say third party?
That's what we say in Tzadshlishi. We say, what do they call it when you get your insurance? Tzadgimel, right?
Afilu Tzadshlishi. Right, even a third party.
Clearly, if it's your fault I broke your vase, it's not Odom Mu'ud Li'Olam. That's got to be the case to Yerushalmi, at least. How about if it's a third party's fault? Maybe you could say, Odom Mu'ud Li'Olam, someone has to be responsible. You're Mu'ud Li'Olam. But if someone else is responsible, then they're responsible, and you're not Mu'ud Li'Olam. So if you're willing to make that chiddush, then you could say in this case, whose pshia is it, really? Whose pshia is it that causes cow to be shechted? Is it the kid's pshia? No. But they're Mu'ud Li'Olam, unless it's someone else's pshia. Whose pshia is it? It's the father's pshia. Isn't it the father's pshia? Maybe it's the father's pshia. What do you mean? He should have told... Now, you might depend on the circumstances, right? How does the father die, right? Maybe he should have told his kids that it was a borrowed cow. He should have told his kids it's a borrowed cow. Now, Yaakov Moshe will say, that depends. Was he struck by lightning, or did he die, you know, on a sickbed? But, okay, maybe we'll make the okimta he died on a sickbed, or maybe we'll make the okimta that he should have been responsible about these things even in his lifetime. So maybe you could say that, if so, then you could say that hanezek ba al yedei pshiyas ha'av v'lachem ha'av chayav v'lo hayorshim. And the father's chayav, but since the father didn't leave any real estate, right, the rule is there's no shibud on metaltalin of Yerusha, and therefore the father's chayav, and since he's not here, then no one pays.
I mean, if you're already going to say that, why would you just say that the shayel should have come running to the yorshim and said, don't, the cow that's in your father's auspices is actually mine. Why blame it on the father?
That's interesting. Maybe make it akin to the shayel was pasha, and that he should have told them. Meaning, once I'm making an okimta, Yaakov Moshe says, maybe I could just say the case was where the shoal should have said something and he didn't. That's a possible okimta.
Maybe he didn't have time.
But that's why I say it's an okimta. You have to make the okimta.
Well, and the advantage of that trust, so the Ramban language isn't so ambiguous. It really does sound like it's because it says,
yeah, that's the problem. The Rambam's lashon of shia denizik. So, okay. I didn't think of this, but Yaakov Moshe is right. Maybe you could just make an okinta. The okinta is hamashil pasha bazeh shelo hodia lohem. Meaning, what's the okinta? Just make an okinta. The owner was around. And the owner had reason to think they wouldn't know, right? The owner was around. He had reason to think they wouldn't know. He should have told them, you should know that that's my cow.
Why?
I lent it to your father for 30 days. The Gemara says you can still use it until the 30 days are up. Why should he have told them? So they wouldn't shecht it or sell it.
Why is that part of his responsibility?
Because maybe it's common sense.
Okay, but I want to be part of his chiyuv.
It's not common sense. It's not common sense. I don't understand. I lend you a car. You forgot that I lent you the car. Right, that car is not such a good as good an example. I lend you a knapsack. You forgot that I lent you the knapsack. Or it somehow became confused and it was clear you didn't, you thought it was your knapsack. So isn't it common sense? I say things, you say, you should know, you can use that knapsack, but it's mine. Like, don't throw it in the garbage, don't like give it away to your relatives. What? Okay, you have to make okimta. Sure. Plenty of commotion, not me. But Chesky's right. This can be tricky in the Ramban, because the Ramban quotes Yerushalmi and makes it seem like it's Dafka the Nitzak. You can always say La Dafka.
Right, but this seems.
Okay.
The Dafka the Shoel, the Shoel, the father, he, the Chora, should have told his children about the status of this para Likesh. Because they were dealing with the shoal.
Right, but it all depends on the circumstances, right? Meaning, it all depends where he lived, where they lived, etc. So it all depends on the circumstances. But Yaakov Moshe is right. If I can make an okimta anyway, I can just make a more glot okimta.
Is the shoal chayav in every single onus?
Yes.
Not at all.
Yes. But the thing is, except, right, okay. But the thing is, if the father is chayev and he's dead, so he doesn't have to pay. Right?
No, I was just going to say that maybe they're chayev. When you're shomer and you're mazik, the person's that thing is not. You don't pay back midin adam amazik. Pay back midin shmira.
Okay, that was why. Okay, so that's what Shlomi is trying to say is that maybe this case is different than all the other cases of adam amazik. Chesky is going to say there's also not midin in the lashon of the Ramban. He says maybe this case is more like the reason they're putter here is more like the case of the shochet who slipped up and the porters who tripped and slipped up. Meaning, what was unique about all these cases? It's not just stam I was mazik your property. I'm a shomer on your property. Over here, he's a shomer on the property. Or the kids, this is an interesting case. The kids don't inherit the obligations of a shomer, but they inherit the rights of a shomer. That's what the Gemara says explicitly. And likewise, in those cases, the shochet was a shomer chinam, and the porters were shomer chinam or shomer sachar was discussed there. And this guy's a shomer. What they have in common is they're shomerim. Now, you're not going to say it's like those cases where he was obviously mochel because he wanted you to do work for him. It's hard to say he was obviously mochel there. You're not going to say it's like those cases where you were trying to help, so it's not mazik. Here you weren't trying to help. But Shlomi is saying, no, maybe a shomer is different. And what Shlomi is suggesting is that a shomer already has rules governing the relationship. If I stop injure your prop, damage your property, we have no pre-existing relationship. So the rule is mazik, adam mutiola. When it comes to a shomer, or at least a shoel, he's saying, no. There aren't the regular rules of mazik. A shoel already has specific rules of shoel, right? You're chayiv in this, and you're chayiv in that, and you're not chayiv. Well, shoel's chayiv in almost everything. And therefore, when you already have other rules that govern your relationship, those rules are why you're chayiv and not mazik. The rules of mazik is when you don't have special rules for what you have to pay for on this thing, when you don't have a pre-existing framework. When you're strangers, you have the rules of mazik. When we already enter into a trend deal, shomer chinam, shomer sachar, socher, shoel, I'll pay for exactly these things and not those things, then I'm chayiv al shomer and I'm not chayiv al mazik. The framework of shomer preempts, right, in legal terminology, the framework of mazik. That's what Shlomi wants to say. I think that's possible. Efsher. Tendency to say it's not meduyik from the Ramban, because the Ramban makes it sound like only if you're trying to help him. But Shlomi wants to say maybe a shomer, including shoel, is not a mazik because the framework of chiyuve shmira preempts the framework of mazik. Ah, they don't have chiyuvei shmira because they inherited it, but their father has chiyuvei shmira. So since they have it as shomrim, even though the chiyuv goes back to their father who's dead and can't pay, so it slips between the cracks and they get away with murder. Okay, at least according to Pete, they get away with murder. But since they're shomrim have their own rules, and the rules of mazik don't apply when there's already pre-existing rules of shomrim. What does that mean when they shech this? They're not chayav al tzamazik. Their father's chayav al shoel, because the shoel is chayav for any shechita that happens to the animal. So their father's chayav al shoel. Since their father's dead, no one actually pays. But since there's a pre-existing framework of the father being chayav al shoel, then the rules of mazik don't apply. Maybe you could say that just a little differently. I'm not sure. There's a funny sheet of the Rambam. In Hilchas Chov L'Mazik, Perek Vav, Halacha Dalid, which we saw really starts at Halacha Gimel, which maybe you glanced at. The Rambam has a Shitas Yachid. Says the Rambam, Afamed V'Rumur B'Shus HaNizak. Adon's only will the Olam B'Shus HaNizak. Avo B'Shus HaMazik, Enu Chayiv L'Shalom HaHizik B'Zodin, L'Shur on his Potter. B'Shus HaMazik, Adon's not will the Olam. You only have to pay if you damage on purpose. V'Chino Yim Shnei B'Shus, if it's B'Shus both of you, O Shnei M'Shul B'Shus or B'Shus neither of you, you're not chayiv if you damage accidentally. He says that again. Halacha Dalid. Meaning, there's no chiyuv of adamu the olam if you have rishus. The chiddush of the Rambam is even if you, not I have more rishus than you. Even if we have equal rishus, it's the rishus of both of us or neither of us. There's no chiyuv of adam with the olam. The Rambam seems to think the chiyuv of adamu the olam is only if I invade your space. Then, Adam Udliolam, you have the right to protection in your space. No one should be mazik you. But if we're both equally, you know, and even if it's not my fault at all, still, you have absolute protection in your space. But if it's Bershus, says the Rambam, Shneim Bershus, there's no rule of Adam Udliolam. Meaning, if, therefore the Rambam says, like, if two people are both running in the street and almost Shabbos to get ready for Shabbos, and one of them actually knocks the other one to the floor and breaks his arm, the Rambam would say, Potter, since they're both equally Bershus in the street, there's no Adam Udliolam. Assuming it was an accident.
Isn't this Gemara Mahdi?
No, just look at the right there. It says the Gemara is only if one of them bumps into the other and the other one passively injures them. Not. It's only midin bar, not midin adam amazik. The Gemara might only be if we're both running and I run into you and break my arm running into you. But not if you run into me. Okay, anyway, whatever. Anyway, maybe you could say, so that Rambam is a very radical idea, but maybe you could say the similar idea. There's an idea of Bershus. Maybe Adam is not Mudiolam Bershus. What does Bershus mean? Bershus means that, one type of Bershus, if it's literally in my house, right? Bershus can also mean if I have permission to possess this property. In the case of the Shochet, who messed up, he had permission to shaft this animal. You didn't want it to mess up, but he had permission to jump to the end of the porter has permission to transport the jugs. And these Yorshim have permission to possess the animal. They might not have permission to shech the animal, but they have permission to possess the animal, the rishus. The animal is in their rishus, because they have the right to use this animal for 30 days. Now, they don't know any of this. They think it belongs to them. But in truth, like if the truth came out, they would say, it's still in your possession for 30 days, because your father borrowed it for 30 days, and you can keep using it. Maybe once you have Rishus, that's Mafkia Adam Udliolam. Of course you can't be Mazel the Kavana, that's what it says. Kavana, even Rishus. But, maybe you could say, and this is, it's similar. It comes out the same as what Shlomi was saying. But maybe you could say that there's no Adam Udliolam if the Chayfetz Hanizak certainly is in his Rishos. There's no Adam Udliolam Rishos. Adam Udliolam means that I can't touch your property without permission. I can't affect your property without permission. But if I have permission to handle your property, I have permission to possess your property. As a matter of fact, I have permission to keep you from taking your property in this case, right? These Yesomim, until the 30 days are up, have permission to keep this cow, and the owner can't even take it, because they already have the right to borrow it for 30 days, and you can't, and there's no backseas on that. Once they have Rishus, then there's no Adam Udliolam, because Adam Udliolam is not you're responsible for anything you've damaged, is that you're responsible for invading someone else's Rishus. Now, exactly where you draw the line, you don't have to go as far as Rambam. You don't have to say, therefore, in the street, there's no Adam Udliolam if you're both acting normally. Could be no, in the street, your Dalet Amos is your space, right? Nowadays, right? Everyone should respect everyone's personal space in the street and everywhere else, right? So I have to respect your personal space. I have to respect where you put your things. But if I have possession here, maybe there's no Odom Uli Olam, and I think the Yisod of this might be that you're always responsible for for touching someone's property or guf without permission, even if it's not your fault. You're not responsible for making them lose money. You're responsible for touching their property without permission. That's Adam Udliolam. You should never touch anyone without permission. But if you have permission, you're supposed to possess this cow. You have permission to do whatever you want with this cow, except to shecht it. But once this cow is in your possession, then, if you do it permissive, of course you're a mazik. There's no Adam Udliolam because you're not invading anyone else's space or touching their property without permission.
How does the Ramban explain the case of the shechita?
So that's the problem. If you look at the Lashon, it was on the sheet, was it not?
Mazik, right?
If you look at the Lashon, he quotes, give me a second. She'ein be'umen atobim lachto mishamazik. Okay, the truth is there, that's ambiguous. Ein be'umen atobim lachto mishamazik. You could say, that means only someone who's doing what you ask them to do because you're mochel if they mess up. Or you could say, that means only someone trying to help you because that's not a tzura of hezek. You could also mean, no. He means someone who makes a mistake in doing something that he has the right to do because he has the possession of this thing. He's supposed to touch your property. That's not mazik. And maybe likewise, ein b'shoel mishum. I'm not sure. It's not as meduyak. And Chesed is going to say it's not meduyak, and therefore he's going to go with Yaakov Moshe's pshat. Okay, some of these pshatim was on a plan to say, some are not. Chaim has the mesifta. He could probably tell us each of these pshatim is someone we never heard of who said them, or maybe someone we did hear of. But we're not sure what the Rambam would say. He doesn't say. Maybe it's, I don't know if it's too obvious or whatever. Maybe you just make it okemta, it was the Nizak's fault, then Shalom Yisrael. Maybe it could be Mechadish a little more. It was probably the father's fault. Like, usually it's the father's fault, maybe. And just be Mechadish, there's no Odemud Leola, means someone has to be blamed. Someone has to be responsible, rather. That someone is you, unless it's someone else. If there's someone else, then someone else is responsible. And if the someone else happens to be dead and not have left real estate, then that's life. Tough luck. Falls between the cracks. Or maybe you could say what Shlomi was saying, is that once you have Shmira, that's its own framework. You don't need the rules of Mazik for a Shomer. Once you have a pre-existing relationship with rules that govern your relationship, you don't need the rules of Mazik. You just go by those rules. Or maybe you could just say it's an Inyan Rishus and say the Chiddush is, you know, for the Rambam, this is reminiscent of Shame Beregel. But just like the Rambam says, only if I invade your property, the Ones and Beshogi, etc., I'm Chayef. But if we're both equally Shayef to do what we're doing, right? If I'm not invading your property, there's no other Mudi Olam. So, you don't have to go that far. You say, only if I touch your thing without permission, then, or I touch you without permission, then that's other Mudi Olam. I shouldn't relate to your touch your property without permission. But if I'm supposed to be, not just touching, I'm supposed to be possessing your property, I'm supposed to be handling your property, then that's not Adam Mudli Olam. That's not the violation of Adam Mudli Olam, because I didn't invade your space or touch things without permission.
But isn't the Rambam still a case where I intend to do this act, as opposed to here, like your intent is chop off Adam's head?
I'm not sure.
And if you're not going to say that, then it's, you're turning into a regular case of showing you like in the shops or anywhere else. You could say that, oh, I didn't realize I wasn't allowed to hurt this guy.
No.
The mazik has this guy want intruder, so I didn't realize.
Okay, they, you're being unreasonable. Now we have to get into all the different levels of shogeg, and what's misasik, and exactly how you define everything. And
but isn't Rebbe comparing to shogeg? That's what I'm saying. I mean, you don't,
yeah, I have no problem saying that there's a fundamental difference between shechting something because I think it's mine and shechting your thing because I think that there's no such isser as hurting people, as stealing in the Torah.
Even though those are both thinking, the Rambam's talking about a case where I didn't intend to do that.
Okay, Seder. Okay. Anyway, Biter. Yes.
I have one question. If you said the Shoel has Kinyani, so, and he has no Chiyuv Yashmira. So is that the same with number 3, the basic thing,
yes? That's what Moshe wants to say first, in different words. Since he's a Shoel, maybe a Shoel really acquires something and just has to give it back. Maybe a Shoel is closer to a Lova. The only difference is a Lova acquires the money and owes you some equivalent amount of money. A Shoel acquires the car and owes you this exact car. But in which case, he really did acquire the car. A Shoel really did acquire something. You hear that's what Moshe is trying to say. A Shoel is more like a Lova. What's the only difference between them?
It's only because of Lova because he has no chiyuv.
Okay. Now we have so many children. How are we going to know which is right? It says Moshe and Joel. Says that a Shoel is like a Lova, meaning they really own the cow. They just owe the same cow. Of course, they who own the cow is the Yorshim. The one who owes the cow is the Av, right? What he's saying is a big chiddush. This is what Moshe is trying to say. A Shoel is really a Lova. When I borrow $100, it's my $100. I just owe you a different $100. When I borrow your car, it's my car. I just owe you to give you back this car. But it's mine. I just owe you to give it back to you. In which case, if it's my shore, then if I shef, then I haven't been mazik. Why do I have to pay if I shecht it? Because I owed you this cow, and if I ain't give you this cow, I have to give you the monetary value. Okay, but since this was the father who owed it, not them, then maybe what we're saying is a big chiddush. A Shoel almost has the right to shecht the kid, to shecht the cow. And let's say better, the reason a Shoel can't shecht the cow is not because he's mazik someone else's cow. is because then he's mevatel his debt of returning this cow. That's a big chiddush.
Well, we didn't invent that. I mean,
okay, big chiddush in Shabbos.
It's
certainly
no
better than
Elatron
and Asafzir where you do that here at Goslin. So,
right, we don't want to make it munter to check the cow, right?
It's better than Shul's worse.
Yeah, okay, it's a big chiddush because then that might have to do with something we're going to get to. Is there such thing as Shlichus Yad by Yeshua? Okay, we'll leave it at this and we'll go weiter. I just want to spend 2 minutes on the Rambam and then go on in the Gemara because there's a lot more to talk about. Who does the Rambam hold like in terms of Adamu Liolam? Who does the Rambam hold like? Tosos, Riva, Ramban, who does the Rambam hold like? Not so clear, right? If you look at the Rambam's Lashon in Chov Lumazik, Perek, Vav, Halach Aleph, Hamazik Mamun Chavir Chayiv L'Shalim Nezik Shalim, Bein Shaya Shogeg, Bein Shaya Anos, Harehu Kemezit. Whether Shogeg or Anos, he's like a Mezit. Ketzad Nachum Menagag Meshivar Zakelim, etc., etc. Shenemer Umake Behemi Shalmena, whoever kills an animal has to pay, Lochil Kazim and Shogeg Mezit makes no difference, Shogeg or Mezit. Okay, what is the Rambam, if you read the Rambam now, what does it sound like? Your Chayav, Bein B'Shogeg, Bein B'Mezit, Bein B'Ones. Who does he sound like? Sounds like the Ramban. He just says Bein B'Ones. He doesn't say, except for an Ones Gomer.
Yeah.
Right? So it sounds like the Ramban. As a matter of fact, the Magen Mishnah, right, it's a little difficult to figure out what the Magen Mishnah is trying to say, because all over he interprets it more like Tosos of the Riva. But the Magen Mishnah right here says, they wrote Rishonim, right? Your father knows Gomer. Varav lo chilek. The Rama did not differentiate. Meaning, the Rama certainly did not explicitly say it depends how big of an onus. He sounds like the Ramban. And here's the basic question, right? The Vav Aleph, the Rama clearly sounds like Ramban. Okay, what does he do with some of these exceptions? I mean, some of them are going to be a little hard. Like, he just says whatever the Gemara says, and then you just do whatever you want. Like, for example, if you look in Chov L'Mazik Perk Aleph, Halacha Yud Aleph, what does he say? Adam Uli'olam, Bein Shogeg, Bein Mezid, Bein Er, Bein Yashem, Bein Shikr, and Chavel V'Chavir, Hizik Mom V'Chavir, Meshalim, and Yafashab, and Chasav. Right? If you're sleeping first and then someone put themselves or their vase next to you, then it's their fault and your potter. Okay. I don't think that proves much of anything. If you, Tos would say, because it's not your fault, and their Ramban would say, because it's specifically their fault. So I think that's really neutral. I think Aleph, Yud Aleph, is really neutral. He just quotes the Rishami, says, it's their fault, not yours. It could mean it's Potter because it's their fault. Or it could mean it's Potter because it's not your fault. You want to make a deal.
By choosing to say it like
by choosing to say that, okay. We'll go with Chesky. Aleph Yud Aleph, since he said the reason the Yashin is Potter is because it's the Nizak's fault, that definitely implies like the Ramban. After all, it's the biggest onus in the world. I went to sleep innocently and someone put a vase next to me. And yet, the Ramban doesn't say I'm putter because it's not my fault. He says I'm putter because it's his fault. That implies like the Ramban. He's just quoting Yerushalmi, but implies like the Ramban. Okay, there are two Rambams which, though, cause us to question this. One is, excuse my flip-flopping, Perek Vav Halacha Dalet. What do you say in Perek Vav Halacha Dalet? And this is controversial. If you look at the Raiva theory, you have to know the whole sugya, but this is not necessarily what the sugya means. What does he say? I mean, not the only way to interpret the sugya. Hayaola Basulim, a guy was climbing a ladder, and the rung fell out from under him. The rung fell and damaged something, right? I'm climbing up a ladder, one of the rungs, I step on it, it comes crashing down and breaks someone's vase. If it was not strong and tight, I'm chayiv. Apparently, I'm negligent. What if it was strong and tight? Meaning, I feel it with my foot. It's strong, it doesn't give way, it doesn't like move around in the hole, right? It's like a normal ladder. So I'm climbing a normal ladder. Like, everyone climbs ladders. What?
You climb a ladder, you go with your hands first.
Okay, so I went with my hands first, maybe.
I'm saying it's like a better...
Okay, it's a normal, it's a good ladder. right? It's a tikni. So the nishmata, and it fell out anyway. Why? Because random things happen. Oshe hit liya, or like somehow it was a little wormy inside, and there was no way to notice, so it fell. Harizet potter, I'm potter zu makim de shemayim hu, because it's bidei shemayim. It's not my fault. It's bidei shemayim. V'chein kol kayotzuza, and everything similar to this. So what does Rambam say? And everything similar to this. If it's not my fault, it's makim bidei shemayim, I'm potter. So here you get to Bav Dalid, right? A shliva, kazaka, umehudekes. Yeah, if you look at the Rivi, you'll see he says the Rambam misunderstood what this Gemara was saying from the very first word to the very last word. I mean, it's all backwards and upside down. But that's not our point now. We're looking at the Rambam. Right?
Yeah.
So, the Shliva Chazaka Umudekes is Potter Demaka Bidei Shamayim. This is a Maka Bidei Shamayim. So now, what does the Magid Mishnah say here? Magid Mishnah says here, Vav. Perik Vav Halacha Dalid says the Magid Mishnah. Lamed Zeharav etc. Venirshu Gori says most point that you have to write Girsa. Vatam Shia Potter Ladas Harav. Why does the Rambam think you're Potter? The nation owns a Gemurin. Vein Roshim Mitzuya Onus Tokach. Now Roshim Mitzuya is not a big onus. This is a big onus. So the Rambam holds like Tosos and the Riva. And that's what the Kesef Mishnah points out. In the very beginning, on Vav Aleph, the Magid Mishnah says the Rambam didn't make a chiluk by Tosfos, but says Vishlit Moa, because in Halacha Dalet he does, right? So the Kesef Mishnah and the Magid Mishnah both say, and probably the Magid Mishnah meant the Rambam didn't explicitly differentiate, but in the end you'll see that, you know, it is. So here, one way is the Kesef Mishnah and the Magid Mishnah, not in chronological order. They say that the Rambam holds like Tosfos or the Rifa. They don't tell exactly which way, meaning Onus Gomer is Potter. Okay, we don't know where they draw the line. Probably easier to say the Rifa than Tosfos, because Tosfos is a little more radical. But okay, Onus Gomer is Potter. The Rambam never mentions that anyplace explicitly. Okay, he tells you here. Is there another way to read this Rambam? Do you have to say the Rambam holds the Riva? After all, it doesn't sound like the Riva in Perek Vav Halacha Aleph, and it's not doing that way in Perek Aleph Halacha Yid Aleph either, because he says, if I go to sleep and you put your vase on Potter, because it's your fault. Why didn't you just say, because it's not my fault? It's a diuk. You could say a different pshat. What fell off the ladder in this case?
The Shliva.
I didn't fall off the ladder, right? The rung fell off the ladder. Hold it, remember what the Ramban says? In daf chavtes above a kama, if the rung fell off the ladder, is that not a mamazik?
No.
Is that my koach? If the rung fell off the ladder, I mean, actually, what makes the rung? If the rung breaks off the ladder, what makes it go downwards?
Gravity,
right? What? I don't know. You could say that this is not Adam HaMazik. Adam HaMazik is if I take a rung and throw it at you. This is not Adam HaMazik. Maybe this is H, right? A moving object broke something.
Yeah.
And the answer is H. Arba Dvar Tormiyat HaBishmirasam, right? And H and Bor and Shane and Regel. All you need is Shmir Pechusa. That's a Mefurish Gemara in the sixth parak. So maybe you could say, this is not Odom HaMazik. This is, and what's the Rambam's Lashon? Zumaka b'dei Shamayim hi. Maybe there's that. This is not a Maka b'dei Odom, where you're Chayav for, this is not a Maka b'dei Odom, where you're Chayav for Odom Udayolam, Bein B'shoge, Bein B'mezid, Bein B'onis, Bein B'rotzom, Bein Er, Bein Yashin, Bein Shikr. This is a Maka b'dei Shamayim. B'dei Shamayim, this rung broke something. I didn't do anything, the rung did. If I had fallen off the ladder, maybe I'd be chayev. But I didn't fall off the ladder, the rung fell off the ladder. And so maybe you could say that, look at his lashon. His lashon isn't onus gomer. His lashon is makab d'shmayim. You could say, by makab d'shmayim means onus gomer. But he could have said onus gomer if he meant. Why didn't he just say, shizu onus gomer? Okay, you could say this is how he chose to say it.
I don't understand how it's potter and it's not.
Because it's not a case of Adam HaMazik. I didn't mazik anything. The rung was mazik something. Now, you'll say, the run was mazik something. Is it my fault that the run was mazik something? This is not my koach.
What?
Why not?
What?
If you step on the ladder, why is it falling? It's falling because you pushed it down.
No, it's falling because it cracked.
It's helping,
yeah, what?
If you throw something, it carries on going because, like, I don't know, the air resistance is not strong enough that it carries on. But you don't say that it's the lack of air resistance that causes it.
No, but if I threw something, then, like, I threw it over here. I was just stepping on this. I was just stepping on this.
Yeah, but you pushed it threw down.
Like the Ramban, remember what the Ramban says. If I slip and my jug goes and, breaks a piece, goes and cuts your arm, chas v'shalom, then I'm putter. Because it wasn't my ish. Right? It wasn't my ish. I didn't create this ish. This ish was just created by tripping on the ground. I didn't create the ish. Here also, I didn't create this ish.
That's a case where you slipped and what happened?
I slipped and I was carrying a jug and the jug fell on the ground and a piece of the jug cut you. So it's not my ish. It's not my ish. What do you mean? I didn't throw anything. I didn't light anything. What? No, even if it didn't bounce off the ground. I just didn't threw that in. That Bahadi Nafli Kamazki. That's not my ish. So maybe you could say what it means is literally Maka Bide Shamayim. Literally Maka Bide Shamayim means that it's not Adam Hamazik. It's Shliva Hamazika, which is Aish, and I'm not responsible for this Aish. Maybe that's it. It's a Machmini Shoraim. I didn't send this Shliva, falling on the ground. I didn't send this Shliva downwards. It's Bidei Shamayim that the Shliva fell. I understand, I was around at the time, but it wasn't my Misa. It broke by itself.
What's the difference between saying that and saying that's what Nefilma means?
The difference is, what if I had fallen off the ladder and broken your vase? According to the Magi Mishnah, Kesa Mishnah, if I had fallen off the ladder and broken your vase, I'd also be Potter. But according to what I'm saying in the Ramban, if you'll grant my shot in the Ramban, if I had fallen off, maybe I'd be Chayef.
Yeah. Even though
this is assuming like the...
What made you fall was not you. Because what made you fall was something that you're not responsible for. So how come you would be...
The Ravid says, Eina Hanami, I'd be Potter. Because I'm something else's ish. But you could say, no, because that's my mice. So the point is, not my mice. So what did I do? It broke and it fell. Why did it fall? It fell because things that break and have nothing holding them up go downwards when there's gravity. Especially if something's on them. But that doesn't make it my Misa. It's not my Misa. It's not my Misa. Where's it my Misa? My Misa would be if... If I accidentally threw something because, like, I thought no one was there or because whatever, I thought it was very light and it was heavy, I thought the window was open, it was closed, etc. That's my Misa. This is not my Misa. I didn't set this in motion. Maki B'dei Shamayim set it in motion.
Is there saying that even had I not stepped on it, it would have fallen?
No.
So I don't understand. That's not my Misa.
Because it wouldn't have fallen if I didn't step on it. But that doesn't mean that I'm the one who made it fall.
So what made it fall?
What made it fall was an accident. B'dei Shamayim made it fall. Because it was strong. And my stepping on it shouldn't have made it fall. It was an accident that made it fall.
I don't know if there's... comparing it to what he says in Hilchos Ritzeach on the same thing would be helpful. But there he says it's Karuv Lo'onus.
Yeah, but...
And our Ritzicha is different.
Well, Ritzicha is certainly different than no Adam with the Olam by Ritzicha, right? There's clearly no Adam with the Olam by Ritzicha.
Right, but it is nice, it's just Karuv Lo'onus.
Where is Hilchos Ritzeach?
He brings the case at the beginning, then he brings a bunch of cases, and the last line is Kolu Turim Ben Abelus.
Turim Ben
Abelus.
Yeah, the problem... one second.
That's a different thing,
isn't it? No. That's because of Aliyin Yerida. That's not Chazaka Muhudekes. That's any Shliva.
Right, but even if it's
no, that's because in Golas we have a tour of Derech Aliyah and we have special kulas.
Right, that's Karbonas.
Yeah, but that's a special kula only in Golas we have that kind of tour.
Right, so we should be Mechayev in Ezekiel.
And we are, unless it's Chazaka Mudekis, which is not what he's talking about there.
Is there a Chiluk?
You're confusing us for no reason. What he's saying there is that you don't need to come into Chazaka Mudekis, so you're always Potter. Uh-huh. So why bring up Chazak and Mudekis? Yeah, but you don't have to come on to that, because it's Derech Aliyah. It's Derech Aliyah. And now, where am I getting this idea from? You're all looking at me like I just made it up out of thin air. What did the Ramban say that's on this sheet? He says, fourth line of the Ramban, Afila b'shas nefila, even if I trip and as my jug is falling, it breaks something. So you guys would say, isn't it me? If I wasn't carrying it, it wouldn't have fallen. It fell from me. It's very similar. It fell from me. Dahavali Eish. That's called Eish. Notice, it's not called Koach. It's called Eish. Potter, Dahanami Miyatar Torah Shmuel. So the Torah is made on the Shmir of Eish. V'loba Eden Ben Zokin Shmir Me'ula Kol Kach. Etc. So he says that's called Eish, that's not called Kochon. The Torah was Mema'et Eish. And he says in much more detail, but I put in brackets, in the Milchamos, which, this is an old Oz V'Hadar, so I can still find the Milchamos. In the Milchamos, on Daf Koftes Bavakam, which Daf Yudgimel Daf Yerif, he said explicitly, Delav mi Kocho Ka'azel, Shakarka Sheniska Ba Dachafto. That jug, when I trip, it's not my koach that's causing the jug to fly. It's the ground that tripped me that's causing the jug to fly. The ground tripped me up and caused it to fly. Likewise here. The ladder broke under me and caused itself to fly. Right? It wasn't me who caused the ladder to fly. The ladder caused itself to fly. Makabi de shamayim. And therefore, it's a case of Eish. Okay, that's what I want to tell you. The Rambam, you could like it, you could not like it.
You want to support the only other time I've used the phrase makabi de shamayim in the case of Eish where it went too far. When you got it properly,
it went apart. Okay, great. Okay, that's the only other case. Look at that. Niskei Mamon Yudalid Halacha Beis. The only other Makom Deshamayim is about Ish. Good Raya. I mean, Rebbe.
I guess I'm harping on the same point, but Rebbe saying that it was Bideshamayim, I mean, I don't understand. Maybe we thought it was sturdy, but had a weak point. I mean, maybe the one who's talking a weak point, it was us that did it. I mean, what is it, a nace? Like, I just don't understand what Rebbe means as Bideshamayim. I mean, Mukha from the idea of rope, there must have been a weak point that we didn't know about. Just like scientifically.
Okay, it doesn't just look when I trip, it's not a miracle, according to Rambam. When I trip, it's not a miracle. The point is that something tripped me. Likewise here. You're saying, what do you mean something tripped me? I'm walking, right? The ground doesn't do anything if I don't move. Right. When I walk and I trip, we see that the ground tripped me and sent me and the jug flying. So therefore, the jug is not my koach. It's Eish. Likewise, when this falls off the ladder, even though it's very similar to the case, it's because I'm moving that it happens. Nonetheless, since this is not, since I didn't touch your vase with my own body, right? Only the shliva hit it. And I did not do something which bederech hateva, which caused this shliva to move, only because of some freak accident, some unexpected act, only because of an accident, the shliva moved. When the shliva moves because of an accident, and I don't actually throw it, just like the jug. I tripped, I didn't throw the jug, I tripped, and then the jug went downwards. Likewise, I stepped, and it went downwards. So when I don't actually throw something or exercise my muscles to move something, I'm just moving, and through some accident, it gets moved as a reaction. It starts moving as a reaction to my halicha. That's not called my koach. That's what Ramban says. When I am walking, and as a reaction to my walking through some accident, something else starts moving, that's not my koach. My koach is if I push it. It's not my koach if just gravity takes its course because of some accident that happens because of me.
I'm still not understanding why they're accountable. If I let go of something, that it falls because I'm not there. As opposed to when I step on a ladder, I'm making it go down. It's your force. There's force of yours. I know that, like, I shouldn't have expected it, and I know that gravity is assisting it to go down. But the physics are that I stepped on it. But the there is your koach.
Okay, is that... I mean, you have to figure out, is that really koach? Now, you'll bring me the Gemara, if I feel your loka mishum klayim, right? If I sit on a horse and make it ride, you'll bring the Shabbos elevators, etc. Okay, we have a lot of arguments, right? Shabbos elevators, right? Is the fact that the gravity under me, is that my koach? Or is that just something that happens?
But here I'm applying a force. There is force behind your hand.
What do you mean applying a force? I'm standing.
You're standing.
You're stepping. Yeah, so if I kick a soccer ball, I'm clearly applying a force. Let's say I'm standing on this tile. Now, any physicist would tell me I'm applying force to the tile. As a matter of fact, the tile's even applying force to me, even though I don't feel anything. But halachically, I don't know, am I applying force to this tile or am I just standing here?
Stepping into the tile.
Okay. All right. No one likes my pshat. You know what? Neither the Kesef Mishnah Magi Mishnah. So,
I like your pshat.
Find me someone who says I pshat in your book.
That's the Mahalach Kuntz Sei Shiurim.
Okay, the Kuntz Sei Shiurim says my pshat. Allegedly. Rabbi Yehuda Malin says my pshat, allegedly. Okay. You know what? Maybe the Rambam just holds like Tosfos in the Riva. Why doesn't he ever say an Onus Gomer is different? The answer is he did. Makim Yedei Shamayim means an Onus Gomer is different. Okay. If so, then the last Rambam also works out fine. You spoil all our fun. The Rambam says in Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Ches, something, it's a big Chiddush, Kishem She'om Din L'Misa, Kach Om Din L'Nizokin. Just like Omed L'Misa, what is Omed L'Misa? That's based on pretty Mefurish Pesukim. Right? Mefurish Pesukim. The Pasuk says, if I hit you with a wooden stick that is big enough to kill you, I'm Chayiv Misa. If I hit you with a stone that's big enough to kill you, I'm Chayiv Misa. That's called Omed L'Misa. Okay, Chumash doesn't use Omed. It's Mefurish in the Chumash. I'm only Chayiv if the weapon was big enough to kill you. Likewise for Nizakin, if I injure you, I'm only Chayiv if the weapon was big enough to injure you. Right, Ketzer Shehika Chaver Bechor Katan Sheimbo Kedei LaHazik VeKisam Shleitz Katan VeChavbo Chaval Shein Chayv Zeroy LaSozer Is a Pasuk. If I hit you with a toothpick and make some injury that a toothpick should not be able to make, then I am Potter. Shneimar BeEvno BeEgrov Dover Roy LaHazik. Because the example of the Chumash is with an Evan or an Egrov, which is Roy LaHazik, not a toothpick, etc. What?
Potter on everything or the excess?
Lachor the excess. Continuing. He says, what if I lose the stick? And I claim it wasn't big enough to injure you. And I'm like an onus. And you claim it was big enough. Okay, then you're nishma benotel. That's not our topic now. But he throws in something very interesting here. He throws in a magic word here. He says, it's only in the case of a claim where it was lost. I claim I'm like onus because it wasn't big enough. What does that imply? The reason I'm potter and omen the nizakin is because of onus. That's the Rambam. Now here... That Rambam sounds very... It's funny, the Magen Mishnah, no one quotes this one. But, Aleph Yud Ches says, there's being called Omed L'Nizokin, and the phrase the Rambam puts in the guy's mouth is Kamo Anusani. And obviously, the Rambam is just putting this in the mouth of the litigant. But obviously, he doesn't mean some litigant might say random words. He means that these are logical things. Right, this is the logical reason behind the Torah. The Ptor is Kamol Anus, meaning if I hit you with a toothpick and break your arm, I'm Potter because of Anus. In which case, that seems to be the best proof. No one, the Nosekelim don't quote this proof. This seems to be the best proof, right? That Mashma the Rambam Potter Beonis Gomer Kedas Magid Mishnah and the Kesef Mishnah and everyone in this room. Right, it's a little funny. I might not even have called this an Onus Gomer. Really? Why are you hitting the guy in the first place? But the Rambam, okay, you can say it's Onus Gomer. I hit him with a toothpick. That's an Onus Gomer breaking his arm. Come on, it's not my fault at all that I broke his arm. That's almost a miracle that I broke his arm with a toothpick. And therefore, that is Onus Gomer. And so the Pashup shot is the Rambam, is that this would support what everyone's been saying in Makabi De Shamayim, who didn't like my pshat, and I understand why he didn't like my pshat, and I don't take it personally, that the Rambam really, even though he never said it, when he presented the rule, he never made an exception. But nonetheless, okay, he thought it was obvious that there's an exception in Makabi De Shamayim, you have to draw the line someplace, and this worked well in the Rambam. Of course, you could get out of this also, if you want to be stubborn like me, and you could say, Kimo Anus is not really, he doesn't mean some sort of Anus. He means it's like Anus, but it's really some totally different principle. Okay, you understand that's a little dachuk. What different principle? Maybe you could say, remember we saw machlokas about bor, if an animal dies in a bor test, why are you putter? Putter because you couldn't have anticipated it, or putter because you didn't really make him die, something else made him die. So maybe what the Rambam means is, come on, if I hit you with a toothpick and break your arm, I didn't really break your arm. Something else made your arm break. What if something else? I mean, like, I hit you with a toothpick. The toothpick did a certain amount of damage. The fact that some of that led to you breaking your arm was really not the result of my toothpick. It was just that after I hit you with a toothpick and there's a certain amount of damage, some other process broke your arm, which I'm really not responsible for, not because I'm shogig and onus, etc., because I really didn't cause it, something else caused it. And if you had a good enough scientist, the scientist would say, he didn't really cause it. He was maybe a grum of the Alma, created a situation where then you were open to certain things. But he didn't really cause it. Really, this other thing caused it. Some imbalance of something and some who knows what. So, I admit that's bedochek, right? Yesh lidchos bedochek de'ein haptor mitam onus ella kmo ones, which I understand is dochek, but on the other hand, what is kmo? Ve'aptor mitam shelo goram lehezeklal. I didn't, or maybe I was a grum of Yalma. Shelo asa hahezek. Maybe the first because I really didn't damage you. If I broke your arm with a toothpick, I didn't break your arm. Something else broke your arm. What? You had something wrong with you that broke your arm. That was not a result of my toothpick. What? I don't know. What you could also say, although everyone here is happy with the Magen Mishnah, the Kesef Mishnah, Shalom Al Yisrael, what you could also say, if you wanted to be bold, is you can make a diuk. Tell me if you... It's an interesting diuk. How many times did the Rambam say, Adam Mu'ad? Like the principle of Adam Udliol, not a case, twice. Once in Perek Aleph, and once in Perek Vav. Why once in Perek Aleph, once in Perek Vav? What's the difference between Perek Aleph and Perek Vav? Perek Aleph is about Chavala, right? This helps Chovil Umazik. Chavala is injuring a person. Perek Vav is damaging an item, Mazik. Compare the language of Perek Aleph to Perek Vav. In Perek Aleph, he says, Adam Udliolam, Ben Shogeg, Ben Mezid, Ben Eir, Ben Yashen, Ben Shikr. Right? In Perek Vav, he says, Hamazik mam chavir chayiv l'shalim nezik sholim bein shaya shogeg bein shaya onus harei ukemezit. What does he say in Perek Vav that he doesn't say in Perek Aleph? In Vav he says onus. In Vav he says bein shaya shogeg bein shaya onus. In Perek Aleph he says bein shogeg bein mezit bein er bein yashin bein shikr. He doesn't say Bein Onus. Now, it's always a question of how much of a Medayik in the Rambam, right? How much of a Medayik in the Rambam? Right, so far we don't have... And we're happy with the Rambam, right? Kesef Mishnah Magen Mishnah say he holds like Tosos and the Riva, right? Let's call him the Riva because Tosos is radical, just stam. And everything fits. Anytime you're Pati, you'll say it's a big onus. Anytime you're Chai, you'll say that's a small onus, right? But why does the Rambam say Bein Ba'onus in Perek Vav and not say Bein Ba'onus in Perek Aleph? Now, I don't know if you're a non-brisker, you'll say, you know what, he's probably just, I don't know, quoting some old halacha work that he's quoting and using the Roloshan and not being medayik how he brings it. Right? But that's not the brisker Masorah. So, and another interesting thing is, he used the Loshan of Adam Mu'ad Li'olam in Perek Aleph, but in Perek Vav he just says, Hamazik Mam Chavir Chayiv L'Shali. He doesn't say Mu'ad Li'olam. What does Mu'ad literally mean? Now, we're not sure what mu'ad means, because mu'ad has become a catchphrase, could just mean chayav. But what does literally mu'ad means? He's warned. He should be careful, right? He should be careful. Like sure, mu'ad, you're warned to be careful. So it seems like almost in Perek Aleph saying, an adam should always be careful. And he shouldn't damage bein, b'mezid, bein, b'shogeg, bein, b'er, bein, b'yoshin, bein, b'shikr. And Perek Vav is saying, you're chayav, you damage, always chayav to pay. Ma'ke behemi shalmena. No chiluk between cases, even onus.
What is an avera?
Maybe there are two different principles going on here. And if you'll say, mehechitesi tzvei dinim, right? Meaning I don't believe in free tzvei dinim, right? Every bris grower, or so one of the things in bris grower, always like to say everything is tzvei dinim. Right? The now if there's tzvei dinim, there has to be two makors, like two psukim or something. Okay. Okay, in terms of the actual chi of nizikin, how about adam ud liolam dafkav zayin? What's the marker of adam ud liolam? Petza tachas petza. What's that talking about? Chovel or mazik? Obviously, chovel. Petza tachas petza. What does the Rambam quote? The Rambam only quotes in Perek Vav. What's the marker? Umake behema yishalmena. He gets that from Tanit Bechizkia. Tanit Bechizkia, just like Maki Behema always pays, Maki Adam never pays Kimli Ramine. He gets that from the drush of Kimli Ramine. But the Gemara never says that's a drush of Adam Udiola. He has two psukim, Petza Tavas Petza. I'm assuming he has. He doesn't quote it. Let's assume he has it. It's in the Gemara. And Maki Behema Shalmeda. One pasuk of Chovel, and one pasuk of Mazik. Now, okay, you'll say you have to go to Daf Rav Zayin and figure out when he had the Gears of Onus, when he didn't have the Gears of Onus. I admit, I'll have to make sure he has the right Gears. After you could say, if you want to make a Diyuk in the Rambam, Diyuk for Rambam, maybe there's Svei Dinim. Why? Mazik, or Chovel, and Mazik. Chovel, Vav Yud Aleph, says, Shogeg V'chulei, by Mazik, in Vav Aleph, he says, Shogeg, and he even says the magic word, Onus. Let's add something. Over here, he says, Adam Muad. Muad sounds like you should be careful. Over here, he says, Chayiv L'Sham. Sounds like it has nothing to do with being careful. You're just responsible to pay. It's just, that's life. Someone has to pay. After all, if I rip your book, someone has to lose money. Either you lose money or I lose money. So I should lose money because I ripped your book. And, you know, it had nothing to do with whether I was warned. After all, you also weren't warned. Let's add one thing. Kemo anasani, there's only one place where he uses the word anastapatiu. Not makabideshamayim. He used the word anastapatiu. The only place he used the word anastapatiu is by omed linizakin. An omed linizakin is about chavala. Right? So, Aleph Yud Ches. Now here you have to take my pshat. If you don't like my pshat, throw the board in the garbage. I mean, not literally. I need to write other things on that you might agree with. But he says mefurash that kimo anas is potter. Right? What's his lashon? Kimo anas. Kimo anasani is potter. In Perek Vav, he never says the lashon of anus is potter. Now, you might say that's a makom deshamayim, and you might say this is wrong, but he never says the word anus is potter. And I would add one thing. Maybe there's two different psukim. Here is the Rambam quotes the pasuk of Make Behema Yishalmena. The Rambam quotes the pasuk of Make Behema Yishalmena. Give me a third of a second. And here, now here I'm combining the Rambam and the Gemara, but the Gemara quotes the pasuk of Petza, Tachas Petza. Now I'm combining the Rambam. You might say, no, the Rambam's not having two things, one that's in the Gemara and one that he adds. Maybe the Rambam totally is, the Rambam has one pasuk, the Gemara has a totally different pasuk, and the Rambam only has one pasuk. But the Gemara did have a drush of the pasuk. Maybe the Rambam agrees with the Gemara's drush of the pasuk, but also agrees with this other drush of the pasuk, because really he found two Gemaras. The Gemara says, Petza tachas petza, teach you that adamu liolam. Again, maybe the Rambam did not have a gersa on upstairs. Then the Gemara says, just like Makin Hamas, Chayav, Bain Bishoge, Bain Bemezid, Bain Bonus, Bain Baratzon. So Rashi says, because of Petza Tachas Petza, there's only one Makar. But the Rambam might have said, there's two Makaras in the Gemara, Petza Tachas Petza, and Make Behemi Shalmanus, the Rambam, Alpi the Gemara. Maybe you could then say a big Chiddush. Who says this Chiddush in your book?
Rabbi Malin.
Rabbi Malin allegedly says this Chiddush. Great. I'm rather regarding the Malam on this. But whether we say, but maybe you could say the Ram has Svei Dinim and Odom Uligola. He holds like Tosos and he holds like the Ramban. When it comes to Mazik, Maki Behemi Shalmena, there's no Ptur bonus. The Ptur Maki Behemi Shemayim, if you believe me, is a different Ptur. Right? Or if you want to get very fancy. Okay, whatever. There, it's Chayiv L'Shalim. There's an absolute Chayiv L'Shalim. You are Chayiv to pay, has nothing to do with wrongdoing. Ramban. Right? Maki Behemi Shalmena. Never says onus is Ptur, says onus is Chayiv. When it comes to Chovel, on the other hand, you know, he throws Mazik also into this. Okay, because Petzah Tachas Petzah would apply to both, but Maki Behemi Shalmena would only apply to Mazik. When it comes to Chovel, he says, no, Chovel is not covered by Maki Behemi Shalmena, only covered by Petzah Tachas Petzah. That's a demud liolim, you're always warned. It's not that you absolutely have to pay. It's just that you always should have been careful. And therefore, whenever you could have been careful, you should have been careful. If you couldn't have been careful, then it's not your fault. But you should have taken extra care. You can't say, I did minimal Shmira. You had to do maximal Shmira. That's other muad liolam. You're muad. You were warned to do maximal Shmira. If it's not your fault, it's not your fault. But you were always warned to do maximal Shmira, and that's why he thinks Kamo Onus is Potter, even though it's a big Kiddush, like it's a big Kula. Kamo Onus is Potter. And why would the Ram differentiate between Chovel and Mazik? And here we're going to mention something which maybe is famous, but I apologize, it's obnoxious. I shouldn't say things are famous if they weren't on the Makor sheet yet this year. But the Ram has an interesting Shita, which has difficulties in a lot of sugyas, including ones we're almost up to, about Chavala. What's the Ram's interesting Shita about Chavala? The Ram puts Hilchos Chovel and Mazik. Is Chovel and Mazik the same thing or two different things? I mean, clearly, they're two different things. One is injuring a person, and you pay Dalad Varim, and one is breaking an object, right? But the question is, Al Pilondas, are they similar or different? And what did the Rambam say famously? The Rambam says famously at one point that Chavala is a Knas. What did Chavala is a Knas? What do you mean Chavala is a Knas? So probably Shitase. What does it say in the first cleric of Chol Mazik? Doesn't the Torah say Ayin Tachas Ayin? So why do you have to pay money? So the Rambam says you really deserve to lose your eye, but you can redeem it by paying money instead. Meaning, what do you really deserve to lose your eye? You really deserve to lose your eye through no fault of your own? Let's say I poke at your eye chasvishalom through no fault of my own. Is there a half me and I deserve to lose my eye? No. Let's say it was my fault. Maybe it wasn't totally my fault, but I wasn't maximally careful about your eye. Then it is my fault. I deserve. I wasn't careful. I should have been careful. You know, this is serious stuff. Come here, Sakanta Meisura. Right? The Rambam says by Yisurin, you should be bodek yafe yafe that everything you do won't be an Isur. Come here, Sakanta Meisura. You should be bodek yafe 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 that I won't injure someone. Right? So, then it makes sense. For the Rambam, it could be that Chavala is more of a punishment for wrongdoing. Mazik is more of just, even as accounting, is more of a business relationship. Part of the business relationship is that whoever breaks it pays for it. Doesn't matter if it's his fault or not. Someone has to suffer the loss. Why should the guy who didn't break it suffer the loss just because he's the owner? Let the guy who did break it suffer the loss. So if you want to say, and this is the whole sheet of the Rambam, we'll see these Makoros inside. And there's a lot of difficulties on them. But if the Rambam wants to say that Tashlume Chovel, Tashlume Chavala is an onish, but Tashlume Nezek is just a chov, is just a debt, then it makes perfect sense. Tashlume Nezek, it's a debt. You know what? If I borrow money from you, whether it's shogeg, but ones, doesn't matter. I have to pay you back. That's the nature of the world. You have to pay for certain things. That's when it comes to paying for objects. Paying for objects is business. When it comes to injuring people, that's not business. Injuring people, that's already evil doing. That's already a veros. That's already an onesh. Okay, you only get an onesh if it was your fault. Even if it was a little your fault. If you were moodly olam, you should have been maximally careful. So if you were minimally negligent, it's your fault. However, after all, if you were minimally negligent in Machal Shabbos, you have to bring a karban, it's your fault. So if you're minimally negligent and you poke out someone's eye, then you should get your own eye poked out. Okay, give money instead, because Lola Hagzeba. So then it might make sense that Madurik and the Rambam, Onus is Potter by Chavala like Tosos, Onus is Chayiv by Mazik like the Ramban, and then it's Madurik, he only mentions Onus being Chayiv in Perek Vav, and he only potters a Kamo Onus in Perek Aleph. You just, in order to buy my Tzvei Dinim, or Bari Lamalim Tzvei Dinim, you have to be willing to accept two pshatim. Number one is that Kamo Onus is a real Pter Onus and not just Kamo Onus. And number two, that Maka B'Di Shemayim is not a Pter Onus, which you had trouble buying. And you don't have to like this Vart. Even as Rabbi Leib Malins, you don't have to like it. Hey, Vart, like the Vart.
Didn't
this Reb Chaim
call the Mazik that the
Chovel Mazik is a Maaseh Aveira? No, the fact that the Rambam differentiated the Chovel Mazik is not any Kiddush now. It's Reb Chaim and lots of other people. The fact that that's relevant to the Sugya of Adamu of the Olam is a Kiddush.
Well, there's an Aveira.
That I was just Mechadish, you know, no, when I wrote the Makor sheet, and Ari Leib Malin was just Mechadish 5 minutes ago.
In order to be poser, Onus is a pure only in a Maaseh Aveira.
Okay, but you, don't tell me it's not a Chiddush. Come on. What you're saying is the Chiddush that's based on something that's in Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim already says Chovel and Mazik are different. Okay, but you then have to take a few steps further. Chesky, why am I all wrong? Oh my gosh. What's going to happen to today's year? Okay, talk really quick because we still need to get to today's year.
Very quickly. Isn't there another which is also apparent to these four Rambam? Two of them, the ones that have the audience, are not. You, they're co-op, and the other two are go. There could have been easy split along those lines. When it's your good, then you're good. When you're not, you're good. And that's where Kamo Onis, that's where
it's... Right, although it's a little tricky. You're saying that Aleph Yud Ches is not your guf. Meaning, he didn't say you threw something. You hit him with something.
Okay.
All right, that's a bit... Okay. But you're saying a big Chiddush.
Kobo versus Gufo. It's my only...
Okay. Yesh Lion. Viter in the Gemara. Okay. Viter in the Gemara. It's a big Chiddush. Viter in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, where are we up to? Oh, I'll just make one other point. Okay. You know this crazy Rosh Hashanah Norbach? What's the craziest psak of Rosh Hashanah Norbach? I don't mean, when I say craziest psak, who am I to judge craziest psak? I don't mean just that it's a radical chiddush that a lot of people can disagree with. I also mean it's like a picante kind of case. The says Rosh Hashanah Norbach, what to do if you have a lot of yeshiva bachur and there's no room for them all to sleep in the sukkah? So, it says, not kasher shalom to be mako and not sleep in the sukkah. That's for chutzlar tzion. What to do? No problem. As soon as the guy falls asleep, he's now asleep. A sleeping person has no das, is potter for mitzvos. So, quietly take him out of the sukkah, and then you can sleep. And as soon as you fall asleep, they'll quietly take you out of the sukkah, and the next guy will sleep. Okay, this is report. This is quoted all over in all the modern day Sfarim. Why? Because it's just so weird, funny that everyone likes to quote it, but the original mucker is, I have the book at home, it's a book called Hasukah. It's just about halachas of sukkah, and the guy wrote, like all the halachas of sukkah in some organized fashion with footnotes, and in the back wrote, and this is what I heard from Shlomo Zalman, and this is what I heard from Elisha, and this is what I heard from etc., etc., etc. So he writes there, I checked it out, you know, first I'm like, where am I going to find this? I open my Piskei Tshuvas, find the footnotes, says, oh, it's in the book Hasukah, take out the book Hasukah, because I want to make sure it was true. And the best I could do, I made sure that it was true that that's what the author of Hasukah wrote, that he was told by Rosh Shlomo Zalman. But it's bavust, right? It's against the Ben Ishchai. The Ben Ishchai says, when someone's sleeping, you're not allowed to take him out of the sukkah. Because he's still chayiv in mitzvos, and if you take him out of the sukkah, you're bringing mevatalim for mitzvos. It's not his fault, but it's your fault. I'm not allowed to be onus. I'm not the onus for make you do an aveira, right? I mean, it's ridiculous, right? I tie the coin up and I bring him to a cemetery. It's not his fault. But it's my affair for doing it, right? So here,
what? Even you should wake someone up. You don't understand that. Ben Ishchai says even you should wake.
Yeah, you should even wake someone up, fell asleep outside the sukkah. Call Shigain, you shouldn't carry him out of the sukkah, right? So yeah, Eda Hanami, it's not his fault, but it's my fault if I carry him out of the sukkah. Ben Ishchai says even if he falls asleep outside the sukkah, I should wake him up. So the here's the big question: we're not getting into this now at all. But what's the status of a sleeping person? What's the status of a sleeping person? And unless you're going to say, it's perfectly fine for me to anis you into mivatal mitzvah. That's a big fish, right?
If you say onus you're still doing the
mitzvah. Right, then that's hard to say for mitzvahs. And even so, that doesn't necessarily mean that I have the right to do it. Okay, yesh l'ayin harbei. Anyway, there's a big discussion that the Stechema discusses, the one I put in brackets. It's... you know, wherever it was, I put in brackets. What's the status of a sleeping person? For example, does a sleeping person count for a minion? I taught an MTA for a number of years. This was halacha l'mais. All the shaylos are halacha l'mais. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chacham Tzvi Yeshayah, but Golem has been started for the minion. So mamish halacha l'mais b'kol yom. We had like maybe 9 intelligent people and another 30 golems, and we want to know if we can say Kaddish and Kedusha or not. Does a sleeping person count for a minion? Maisen double as much b'kol yom. After all, like if you don't show up for a minion, you get in trouble, but you can fall asleep.
Is it any worse than a chayrish shaita b'kadnor?
a shechbet achir shalat v'kan doesn't count for a minyan.
I'm saying if the sleeping person is no.
So says the Pri Chodesh, a sleeping person is a shotek, right? Because he has no das, and therefore he doesn't count for a minyan. Says the most achronim that we paskin know, a sleeping person is not like a shotek. He does count for a minyan. They rise from all this gittin, and then the stechemen mentions how to get out of there. So what? Correct. So you're right. Yeah, halacha lemaisa. The Mishnah Berurah says only count one sleeping person because the mitzarif don't be mitzarif kulos. Correct. Okay, now, this is a fascinating question. The Chemet discusses what's the status of a sleeping person. Is a sleeping person chayiv in mitzvos or not?
Right. I mean, based on this, you could just sleep through everything and be punted from all mitzvos always? Because you're a shoter, you're punted from mitzvos.
Maybe. And that's why this seems very radical, this idea, right? I admit it seems very, this Rosh Shlomo Zalman is radical. I admit this Rosh Shlomo Zalman is radical. Because it seems to be going too far. Okay, but, so the Sichem brings many riots that sleeping people are chayiv in mitzvos. One of them, for example, he says, Yashin b'shmini loke. If you sleep in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, you're get malchus for baltosif. So you see you get malchus for sleeping. I'm not sure it's such a good proof. Maybe you get malchus for going to sleep. Yeah. If the Rosh Shlomo Zalman says there's no mitzvah to sleep in the sukkah, the mitzvah is to go to sleep in the sukkah. So the aveira is to go to sleep too many days in the sukkah. Anyway, he brings one interesting raya from our sukkah. Says it's Dechemed. He says, a sleeping person is chayiv in mazik. That shows the yishayich in mitzvos. If yishayich in mishpatim, he's certainly chayiv in yishayich in mitzvos and aveiros. That's what Dechemed says. We see from here that a sleeping person is chayiv in mitzvos. After all, chirshot v'katan, whose mazik is potter. Right?
Go to sleep next to something that...
Aha. So, how can the sleeping person be chayev if the chirashot v'katan is potter? And don't even say like the Ramban. Well, it's just like a rule. It's not an avera. Because, okay, it's just a rule, but the chirashot v'katan is potter. It's exempt from rules also. That's not true at all. What are you talking about? A chirashot v'katan can have money.
But according to
the... They're ketanim who are millionaires. Tosos in Daf Samach Tes in Sanhedrin discusses how a ketan can acquire money. Midaraisa it works. I don't care about the details. It has to work midaraisa. That's the starting point. Not to mention the fact that if he's not a ger, he could just inherit it. Right? So that's not even a problem. Okay, Viter. He says our Gemara is a clear proof. Okay, how could you, how do you get out of this fact that our Gemara, if a guy has temporary insanity and he's insane and he damages, he's potter. So, if he's sleeping, why is he chayef? So really the answer is that you don't have to get out of this proof. And pashtus sleeping people are not a shote, and they're chayiv in mitzvos, and they are mitzarif to a minyan, or if they're not mitzarif for a minyan, it's for some technical reason, etc. But if you did want to get out of this proof, I think you could say as follows. You'll tell me who says that in the Masifta.
I just found that Rav Shlomo Zalman quoted.
Oh, the Rav Shlomo Zalman.
Halichos Shlomo.
Great.
In the back of the book.
Okay, great. It's in the Halichos Shlomo. I didn't have the Halichos Shlomo at home, so I couldn't look it up there. Anyway, Viker, maybe you could say like this. He's not chayav for being mazik when he's asleep. He's chayav for leaving his body someplace where it could be mazik. After all, if I leave my stone someplace, it could be mazik. I'm chayev. If I leave my axe someplace, it can be mazik. I'm chayev. If I leave my fire someplace, I also own my body. And that could be very dirty in the war. Adam Shmuel Skufo Alav. Maybe you're not chayev for the maisa heads of when you're yashin. You're chayev for not being careful with something you should have been shomer. You should have been shomer your body. Right? And therefore, he's chayev for leaving his body someplace, bipshia. What? Yeah. Correct. There he could just be saying that's why you're not an onus. But maybe you could say that and then would be an interesting way of reading the Mishnah. Why is the Mishnah dafka be yashin, right? The Mishnah is dafka be yashin, right? What does it say? Because the Adam is only dark with the hazik when he's yashin. Came in the kaifu pashin. Why is only an Adam yashin in the Mishnah and not an Adam error? Maybe the point is, an Adam Er, he's doing a Maisa. That's not similar to Shor and Bor and Er. But an Adam Yashin, he's not doing anything. A Yashin is not a Bal Maisa. An Adam Yashin is just responsible for not being careful with something he owned, his body. And then it's very parallel to Shor and Bor and Hever, not being careful with something you owned. So you could say, and then this would also get out of the proof of the Stechemed, you could say, no, it doesn't prove that a Yashin can do a Maisa and can have Chiyurim for his Maisas. really, according to Rav, that Adam's in our Mishnah, maybe only an Adam Yashin's in our Mishnah. Why is an Adam Yashin in our Mishnah? Because it's really similar to Shor, Bor, and Hever. You're not chayav for what you did, you're chayav for what you left lying around carelessly. Just what you left lying around carelessly is your guf, as opposed to your Shor and your Bor and your and your Hever. And then it would be the Mishnah would actually be a very nice unit.
Why wouldn't it still be Shmiras Malacha then?
No, but the Lashon, you'd have to say, you'd have to say Shmiras Gufo, and not Shmiras Son, because Shmiras Son sounds like something else, and your Gufo is yourself. And also, a tummy doesn't necessarily change the Gersa, could just be that's what it means, and that would work out. Okay, but in any case, that was just an interesting Ha'ara. Yeah. Let's go on to the Gemara. Okay, says the Gemara. Right, it's already 10 to 12. Says the Gemara. Yeah, I should rearrange it to change the clock on like a Monday late morning. We'll see. Talk to the government. Says the Gemara. Top of the dollar means Maskel Rav Mari ve'ema Mav Zar Mayim. We'll have to read through this quickly. Rav Mari asked, maybe Mav is Mayim. Right here is actually a machlokas Rishonim. How seriously to take this? Right. Maybe Mav means Mayim. Who says it means either Adam or Shane? Maybe Mav means Mayim. Here we have a bit of machlokas between the Rashba and Tosos. Says the Rashba, they don't really think Mava means Mayim. Because after all, there's no pasuk for it. They just mean, why would the Tana use the word Mava when someone might mistakenly have thought it meant Mayim? Like, why confuse someone who might think it means Mayim? But they don't really think it means Mayim. They just say, boy, that's very stupid to say something that someone might think means Mayim. While Tosos takes it very seriously. He says, no, Zahav means it really means Mayim. How could it really mean Mayim? There's no pasuk. It can't be an Amnesi without a pasuk. The answer is there is a pasuk, because it says Vishilach. And Shilach is a lashon of Mayim, like Sholeach Mayim al Pnei Chutzos, or, right, remember Mashkin Beis HaShlachin, the beginning of Maseches Moed Katan. So Vishilach means Mayim, even though Shilach is Be'iro, so the shot of the pasuk is an animal, the ram is Mayim. Okay, the rest of this Tosaf maybe we'll come back to another time. The Mayim, Tiveish. So therefore we see that Mayim is called Tive. So the answer is no. Miksev Mayim, no. Mayim and Eish. Mayim is plural, Eish is singular. Miksev Mayim Navu. It doesn't say in the plural. Right? Doesn't say in the plural. Tiva ish sin. It says in the singular, meaning what's the subject of tiva? Mayim or ish? So if it was mayim, it would have to be plural. If it's singular, it has to be ish. So really, it's not the mayim, it's the ish. And therefore, we know that mave cannot mean mayim. According to Tosos, mave can really mean mayim. According to the Rashba, no one even have thought mave meant mayim. Because tiva is going on the ish, not the mayim. What does the pasuk actually mean? Is a machlokas between Rashi and Rashi and the Tosos and the parents, based on the Tosos. Rashi says what the pasuk really means, that the Eish is mevabeya the mayim. The Eish burbles the water, right? Causes the water to bubble, like a babuot, which it does, right? Fire boils water. And that means, ke mayim to the Eish, as the fire bubbles the water. Tosos and the parents says that no, what the pasuk really means is that the fire is boed. The fire crackles because of the water that's putting it out. Meaning, who's winning here? According to Rashi, the pasuk really means that the eish is boiling away the water, and the eish is beating the water, and therefore the Dvar Hashem is like the eish boiling away the water. But Tosafot and Parashat, the pshat in the pasuk is the opposite. No. It's that the water really puts out the fire. The Dvar Hashem is like the water putting out the fire. But either way, it's the Eish that is Tiveh. Okay. So, but in any case, let's continue. Ihachi, sorry. Ve'ema Mav is Eish. Okay, then very simply, so maybe Mav means Eish. The Echiksev Tiveh. Ve'eishu is Tiveh. Because the Eish is the subject of Tiveh. No, Ihachi, my Mav and Hever. Then how can you have Mav and Hever if Hever means Eish? If he didn't bridge going far Eish, Mav and Hever are the same thing, so it means Mav, i.e. Hever. There's only three of us in Ezekiel. No, Shor is Shane and Regal. And therefore, there are four. Shor, which is two, and Bor, which is one, and Mav and Hever, which are one. No, how could you say the Shor and Mav have Ruchayim?
V'sumai k'hari eish. And also, how can you say that the hari of shor and mave is not like hari eish of mave is eish? So obviously, that's ridiculous. It can't mean eish. So now mave has to mean either Rav or Shmuel. Continuing in the Gemara. Tani Rav Oshia. Tani Rav Oshia. Shlosha asar avos nezikin. Shomer chinam v'ashoam lo seisachar v'asocher. Nezik tzar ribo shevas and boshes. V'arbin masnisan ha-tlesar. There are really 13 avos nezikin, right? The four shomrim who have to pay. If something happens to the object, depending on all the specific rules, nezek sharipo repo shevus boshes, the five things you have to pay if you injure a human being, and the four in the Mishnah are 13. But tani zan my tani lo tami hadi. So why didn't our tani of the Mishnah reguda nasi? Why didn't he include all 13? Bishlam lo shmo beniske mamak ma'ir beniske nukul lo kamayir. So it makes sense. Rebbe Huda nasi is only including things which your property damages, and Ramoshi is including things that you damage. Elo the Rav litin, but according to Rav, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi also included Mave, which is the person damaging. So why didn't he include all of Rav Oshia's? Tana Adam, Chomile de Adam. No, because when Rabbi Yehuda Nasi said Adam, Mave in the Mishnah, that included all 13, because the Nezek, Tzara, Ripa, Shevus, and Boshes, Rechinam, Vashol, Nosisachar, Asochar, are all things that an Adam does, and not things that your property does. Lavroshia Nami Atan the Adam. Avroshia also, didn't we already have Adam in the Mishnah? So why do you have to add these other things? Tregam the Adam. No, he would have to include the two different kinds of Adam. Tana Adam Dazik Adam, Tana Adam Dazik Shor. He had to separately include a person who injured a person and a person who damaged property. Shor being an example of property. At Ihachi Shor Nami listed Tregam the Shor, listing Shor Dazik Shor, listed Shor Dazik Adam. So then why didn't he count Shor twice? A Shor that damages a Shor and a Shor that damages a person. Hi, Mai. Is this comparable? Bishlo Adam Nazik Shor Nezikudim Shalom Adam Nazik Adam Shalom Adam Rivarvel Shor Mali Shor Nazik Shor Mali Shor Nazik Adam Idi Nezik Udim Shalim. No, because a person who injures a person, a person who injures property, have different rules. A person who injures property pays one thing. A person who injures a person pays four things. And you know, on purpose pays five things. Pays even boshes. But a shor, whether the shor injures a person or property, it only pays one thing. It's all the same. And here. Okay, it's interesting. You could take this in two ways. What is Rav Oshia saying back? Is this all, I mean, you could read this whole machlokas in two levels. You could say, it's all just a matter of how you count things, and it's not lumdish at all. They both agree. Adam da'azik Adam and Adam da'azik Shor are different. Just, Rebbe says, even though they're different, I'll count them as one. And Rav Oshia says, they're different, I'll count them as more than one. Or maybe you could say there's some deep lumdus going on. There's no way to prove. They might be agreeing on the lumdus. Yeah, they're two different things. They're this far apart. And do we like to count generally or specifically? Or they can maybe be arguing on lumdus. Rebbe thinks that no, a person who injures a person and a person who injures a shore are really the same yisod. I know it happens to be you split into five things. But it's really the same yisod. While Rebbe Oshia is more like the Rambam, says no, they're two different yisodas. A person who injures a person, that's an onish for a terrible aveira. A person that injures property, that's business dealings. So it could be, if you have this chakira, Hilchas Chov L'Mazik. We'll call it the Hilchas Chov L'Mazik chakira. Right? Is Hilchas Chov L'Mazik, Chov L'Mazik, one, just two examples of one thing? Or Chov L'Mazik, things that look similar on the outside, but are really philosophically, lumdishly, two totally different things? Maybe that's machlokas between the Tana Didan and the Tana Rav Oshia as to whether you count Adam Dazik Adam and Adam Dazik Shor as one thing or as separate things. Okay, unless they're just dumb argument how to count, which could go either way. They certainly argue about how to count other things. The Gemara just asked. The v'hashomer chinu v'hashol no sachar v'asocher the adam nazik shor hu v'katani. After all, the fourth shomer emerges a person who damages property, right? So I take your property and it gets damaged. So why is it counted separately? Tani zekiv v'dayim katani zekiv v'meila. No, Rav Oshia counts separately. He zekiv v'dayim a person who actively damages something by doing something to it. Versus a person who passively just takes responsibility for something and something happens to it, the Meila counts that separately. Now also, perhaps there's some room for a Chakira here as well. Why does our Tana count Shomrim and Mazik as one thing, and Rav Oshia counts Shomrim and Mazik as two separate things? You could say, oh, well, it just shows they just argue about how to count things. Like, if those are sort of alike, it's sort of not alike. Do you count them as one or do you count them as many? Just one person likes to be detailed and one person likes to be general. Or do you say, no, maybe there's something lundish going on here. After all, what did this Shomer do wrong? Did the Shomer really do some negligence which caused damage? In which case, it's almost the same as if I damage something to Yadayim. Or no, this Shomer is Chaya because he agreed to insure something and therefore he has to fulfill his agreement, in which case it's not anything like Adam HaMazik. Okay, Yesh Lodim, maybe. We'll come back to that when we learn about Mitzvah. Tani Rav Chiya, Esrim Ra'arba, Obz Zizikens, Shlomi Kevel, Shlomi Arba Chamisha. Okay. That's about as far as we got. We'll have to pick up with Rav Chiya, Amir Tzashem. Next time, there'll be lots of exciting things to say about Rav Chiya. I'll add to it just because, you know, I don't want people to be bored. I don't want anyone to think they should just take the morning off and go to the movies. No, I'm just kidding. Everyone knows how we're on their own. But yeah, we will have to add, and we'll continue with the Rafi Amir Tzashem next time.
Someone I know from one of what Rav Lichtenstein would call the more spiritual yeshivas, one time.